Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
And when I was choosing a second reading today, because it always is preacher's choice when we're doing a series like Matthew, it was really easy to come up with the Old Testament reading today. Because the Old Testament reading is written in this passage, because it links back to Psalm 118. And I will go back to that when we're talking about the capstone and people being crushed and perhaps what that means. Now, the parable we've got today, it says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. Now, the image of the vineyard would have resonated with those who were listening to Jesus. Because landowners and tenants were very common in Galilee. And many rich landowners would rent out their farms to tenants. And what they would require as the rent would be part of the harvest. So here we have at the start of this parable, we've got a rich landowner who has built a vineyard and he's rented it out to tenants. They've grown the crops and it comes to harvest time. And at harvest time, the rich landowner doesn't go himself because he's probably far too busy, but he does send his servants. And he sends his servants to go and get what is owed for him, the rent that is owed, the part of the harvest that is due for him. But the tenants didn't want to pay. So it says they seized his servants, they beat one, they killed one, and they stoned another one. And so he sent them more servants, more than the first time. But the tenants were treated them in the same way. And then he said, okay, I've sent my servants, and they've beaten them and they've killed them. What shall I do now to get my rent? I will send my son. They will respect my son. He has my authority, they will respect him. But when the tenants saw their son, they said to each other, this is the heir, come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And the people listening to Jesus said, he's going to bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he's going to rent the vineyard to some other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. So what's this all about? What is it all about? Well, the vineyard is often used in the Bible to mean Israel, the people of Israel. And if we think about the promised land, the people of Israel, they were God's chosen people. And he had given them rules to live. And throughout the Old Testament, when they were not doing what he wanted, what did God do? He sent them prophets, didn't he? He sent them prophets to try and bring them back to his way. He sent Isaiah, he sent Jeremiah, he sent Daniel, he sent Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, whole lot of prophets he sent. But did the people listen to the prophets and did they change their ways? Well, the answer is sometimes yes, they did. But they didn't maintain it. They didn't keep going. They kept going on their own way. And so having sent the prophets, he then thought, I know what I will do to call my people back to me. I will send my son. And so he sent Jesus. But what did the religious leaders do when Jesus was sent? Did they welcome him with open arms and did they change their ways? Or did they reject him and find ways to kill him? And then Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this and it's marvelous in our eyes. So Jesus is pointing back to Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Who is the cornerstone? It's Jesus. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And the cornerstone, or the capstone, it symbolises, it's that strength, isn't it, at the top of the arch. It holds everything together. Without that stone in the top of the arch, everything crumbles. Everything crumbles. And using the image to refer to Jesus as the cornerstone, rejected by the nation, but he's talking about Jesus being the center of God's new world. This parable was directed completely to the religious leaders, because God had entrusted them with Israel. He'd sent the prophets. When they wanted a king, he gave them a king. But you know, whatever they did, they treated the people badly. They didn't listen to the prophets, so he sent his son. And for me, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. This is about God's upside-down kingdom. Because God's taken something that everybody else thinks is weak and foolish, and he's made it strong. And how often do we see God reversing decisions that humans have made? Because our God is a reversal kingdom, isn't he? It's our upside down kingdom. And I can't remember how long ago we were looking at Matthew 20. I think it was back in 2022, because we did some Matthew, and then we did fruitfulness in the front line, and then we had Christmas, and then when we came back to looking at the book of Matthew, we started at chapter 21. But if you go back in your Bible just to chapter 20 of Matthew, we have another parable about vineyards. See, Jesus liked to talk about vineyards. Why? Because Jesus spoke about things that the people of the day would understand. They lived in a land where there were vineyards. They lived in a land where there were tenants and there were rich masters. And the parable of the workers in the vineyard that we had in Matthew 20, if I remind you of that parable, Jesus hired it, the owner of the vineyard goes out to get workers, and he says, come and work for me. Come and work for me, and I'll give you a denario for working for the day. And so some people came at 9 o'clock and worked. But then at noon he went out again and he found some other people. He said, come and work for me. Work for me and I'll give you a denario. And then at 3 o'clock he went out and he said, work for me and I'll give you a denario. And at the end of the day, the people came to get their money. And the people who came last got their money first. And they got the denarius that they'd been promised. So the people who started at 12 thought, great, well, I worked 3 hours longer than them. I know he said he'd give me a denarius, but he's going to give me more. But no, he gave them the denarius. And those people who were hired at the beginning of the day, they still got the denarius. And they questioned, what? That's not fair. That's not fair. I worked for 5 hours, he worked for 1 hour. We've got the same pay. Actually, you agreed to work for me for a denarius for 5 hours. You agreed to work for me for a denarius for 1 hour. I have paid you what we agreed. That is fair. And in God's kingdom it says, so, are you envious because I'm generous? Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. That's how it is in God's kingdom. And we spoke about God having an upside down kingdom. For me, I think God's saying to the religious leaders, you who are in authority, if you're not accountable for the way that you exercise your authority, I, God, will get rid of you. And I will put a new order in. Because do you know, I am God and my purposes will not be stopped by humans getting in the way. And then also in Psalm 118, it talks about anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. For me, there are echoes there of another book of the Old Testament and another Old Testament prophet. Can anybody think in the Old Testament of a statue that completely crumbles? It is. Whose dream is it in? Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Comes in Daniel chapter 2. Because, you know, Jesus knew his scripture. And it's not surprising for me that we have echoes of it throughout the New Testament. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. His mind was troubled and he couldn't sleep. And he called together magicians and astrologers and he told them about his dream. And he tried to get them to explain it, but they couldn't. But Daniel could explain it. And the interpretation of the dream was actually, you powerhouse, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going against God. And your kingdom is going to fall. And it will be crumbled and it will shatter to pieces. You see, our God is not just a God. He's not a God of destruction because he likes it and he can. Our God always wants what's best for people, but he wants us to follow his will. He wants us to know his heart. He wants us to live our lives for him. This week we're going to start Our Kingdom Come, a time to pray, a time to pause. And what better time to stop and to think and to ask God, what is his will? What is his will for our lives? What is his will for our parish? What does he want us to do? How does he want his kingdom to come here in Bedhampton? But you know, I believe his kingdom coming in Bedhampton starts with each one of us. It starts with each one of us getting ourselves right before God. Each one of us being prepared to bow down to the authority of Jesus, to not be like those tenants who rejected the prophets, who rejected the Son. But to be people who welcome the Son and are willing to change and are willing to live for him. Are you willing to be accountable for the way you live your life? And are you willing to live it according to God's purposes? Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.